And thank you for the good singing this morning. Dr. Richardson, would you come please to the platform here and prepare to lead us as we go to the Lord in prayer? As we pray this morning, we want to ask God's special blessings upon our activities of the weekend. As many of you will be going to preach somewhere, be teaching in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, and let's pray that God will bless especially in all of these matters. Dr. Richardson is professor of theology, and we want him to come and voice our prayer to God at this time.
Let us pray together. Great Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you for all of the blessings we have through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit has been sent into our hearts by whom we call unto you. And we are gathered together today here by him for the purpose that we might be strengthened through the word of your servant. We thank you for this one who has so faithfully carried out the special commission that you give to all of your saints, all of those whom you have called out of the world. And Lord, we pray that he will, by your mercy and your grace, inspire us to follow you even unto death, to follow you sacrificially in our ways, in our thoughts, and in our relationships. Lord, that we might be called to offer up to you for your good service every gift that you have bestowed upon us. Make us fruitful thereby, Lord. Make us more in love with you, and fill us with that love for one another, by which sin is overcome, by which righteousness is advanced, and by which the name of Jesus Christ himself and his gospel is lifted high, and he is made known. To all the nations, Lord, how we long for that day, and we pray that we together will be united in that one purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once in a great while, on a campus such as this, somebody comes on campus who is so affable, so open-hearted, so interesting and interested that just almost immediately it seems as if they had been there forever. They're not even strangers. That's exactly the way Paul and Lena Early have been, who have come to us. They are part of a program that has been a rich heritage for this seminary for some years. And it's called the Fletcher Visiting Professor of Missions, and they are serving in that capacity this year. And as soon as they got here, they just made themselves at home, walked right into the hearts of us all, and within 30 seconds after meeting them, you can't help but love both of these precious people. Dr. Early is our speaker this morning. He's a graduate of Mars Hill in Wake Forest and holds a PhD in New Testament from Southern Seminary. They have served for some years as missionaries in the Bahamas and are blessing us this year with their presence here as our Fletcher Professors of Missions. And we are so delighted that they could be here. And as soon as our seminary choir has sung for us, which you'll listen with open heart, then listen to Dr. Paul Early as he brings us God's message for this hour.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have sincere appreciation and awe. Mine is the awe, my wife's over there, at being here today in this place of responsibility. I passed 50 years in active ministry, ordained ministry, this past month. We've never been more graciously received, as you just heard from our president, anywhere than we have been here, and we've had a lot of good. The Lord must have a lot of trouble for us out front somewhere. Things have been so wonderful in living of this life. We just thank you one and all. We express our deepest thanks to everybody for your acceptance and love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all perfect? We're not. Especially this one. No preacher ever felt more like a reed shaken by the wind than I do today. But no preacher was ever more sure of his message than I am today. When our brilliant preacher spoke to us yesterday, he got a ripple of response many times, but once when he said, I just wish we would either obey or believe the Bible. I got a little bit encouraged about bringing the explicit message God has demanded of me. I've ducked and I've wavered. I've almost pulled a Jonah, but to no avail. We are brothers and sisters. Please pray for me today. The command from the Lord for the message today is for each of us to go back a bit in our inner hearts and to seek our deepest experience within, with earnest openness to seek the word of the Lord for his children in circumstances of difference, so that we may more surely move forward in our Christian lives as free children of God. Here at Southeastern and all over our nation and world, we are Christian brothers, all we Southern Baptists, all we Christians. Missiologist Donald McGavin wrote that it's obvious that all whom Christ receives are in error on some things. I don't know why he had to put it in, but he put in a comma there. He said, more truly, more accurately, in many things are we in error. God's receiving each of us is his evidence with our errors we receive. Evidence of our Christian unity. He said we don't have to believe what we conceive our brother has in error, but we do have to receive him. And that's where we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, receiving at Paul's command under the Holy Spirit, one another. Confession of Christ is the key. May we look at God's word for his truth. That's where we're going to be today. For us as Christian brothers, what did Jesus pray? In his pastoral prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the 17th chapter of John. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. It's the 11th verse. Over in the 20th, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It was a little bit redundant, wasn't it? That they may be one. Notice two reasons he gave, two especially. The world's not going to believe in him unless we are one. The world's not even going to know him unless we are one. This was Jesus' prayer. No subject in his pastoral prayer compares to unity. Well, who is my brother, for goodness sake? Who is my brother? The Bible makes it plain, like in Ephesians 1, all of those who are in Christ, in him, in whom. That's a beautiful passage, descriptive of those who are God's. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My brother. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. My brother. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. My brother. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. My brother. I just don't know any other qualification for my brother but Jesus in his heart. Praise the Lord. How do we relate to each other as brother? Would it be biblical to say we relate to each other, not in formal functioning, but having a heart of love? Sending a flood tide of love toward every other brother. Listen, Romans 15:7, receive ye one another as Christ also received us. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Or Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Romans 14:3-4, God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Romans 14:10, why dost thou set at naught thy brother? 1 Peter 3, Peter got almost like John in his later writings. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitying, be courteous, not rendering railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. The Bible doesn't furnish us with any love buts, any love ifs. It doesn't furnish us with any esteem other but or esteem other if. Not any receive but or receive ifs. It's just plain among brothers we love and care. Where are we then historically today in light of Scripture? I have struggled with this message for 10 years at least. It never came out of my pen or typewriter exactly before bits and pieces. But I've been under conviction of the Lord for 10 years at least that somehow true renewal of all God's children might occur. We have a heart problem. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Need I remind us that in our past several years, in our denominational difficulties, as a general, we haven't received all God's children in compassion, loved as brethren, been pitying or courteous, or esteemed other better than ourselves. They're all biblical commands. We've not above all things sought and given fervent love among ourselves, just as seriously in communication, or even just meditation by myself. We have borne ill will toward our brother. Whatever motivation in our lives as Christians comes from antagonism toward a brother is not of God. I've been out of the country the greater part of the last 17 years, but back in the 60s, I've been recipient of uncomfortable rejection two ways. I was called fundamentalist as a trustee of a North Carolina Baptist college seeking to require all faculty to declare themselves to be a believing Christian. Then I was called liberal for leading in and preaching racial integration in the church. All the time, I just thought I was a biblicist, reading the Bible for its plainest truth. But whatever, I remember my reactions of resentment, and I know they weren't of God. God didn't make me brindle and bridle and come out like that. Ill feeling or expression toward a brother with whom I even seriously differ may be historic or habitual or human, but it isn't biblical. The name calling, whether spoken or felt in heart, is equally wrong all round if used as epithet for a Christian brother. All the ugly uses are sin. Fundamentalist, narrow-minded, racist, liberal, skunk, infidel. They're not of God. God doesn't inspire such scornful charges from any of our lips or in the very deepest private of our hearts or minds. Nor does the bitterness or resentment that rises in my heart when it comes at me, that doesn't come from God either. Nor does thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think come from God. But we come to this point. This is why I'm here, I believe. Please hear me. In all these years, we have heard little or none of apologies nor mention of repentance for the sins of attitude or expression that have insulted our brothers. Nor have we heard of any repentance for letting our feelings get hurt and reacting in kind. Both need repentance, change of heart and action. Is there any record of Jesus reacting bitterly, withdrawing when he was evil spoken of? It's when we confess our sins that we get forgiveness and cleansing, not forgetting them, not just repentance and deciding to do better without regret or confession. They aren't the same thing. God would end the pall of silence, the strained and chilly relationships, the lack of serious communication and participation of all God's children in his work. Listen, Jesus speaks again, Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, vain or empty, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, will be in danger of hellfire. Anger, scorn, ridicule, insult are here likened to murder by Jesus. The world, through the press, has heard such murder from our lips and from our hearts and from our pens and felt it from our hearts. God has witnessed such murder from his children's hearts and mouths these years, flying both ways, up and down, backwards and forwards. Has God heard repentance for our spirit's action or reaction in any circumstance of strain? Listen, Jesus speaks again, Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. That's a dangerous soul. King James just says, that you may be, but that's what it means. Love, bless. God has been grieved when, even with Jesus' beautiful example on the cross of humility and the humble response, we, his children, have felt ourselves offended and used or even persecuted, and we've not responded with open-hearted love and blessing and returning good and humbly praying for the offender. We've used our excuses for being human. Has God heard repentance from this in our lives? We're moving forward. It's a new day. Years are passing. God's still God. We believers are all God's children, and all believers in Jesus Christ as Savior God are brothers. And God requires respect for each other and receiving them in true fervent love. To conclude, in fact, Jesus said, even a valid worship experience waits on being right with our brother. Man, I believe this Bible. You don't need to do much preaching except what the book says to get the word to our hearts and to our lives. What did Jesus say? Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, the worship place, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. A valid worship experience waiting on being right with our brother. Being right, at least in our own eyes, with scorn, exasperation, or setting at naught our brother, is sin. And not the same as Jesus when he, in his heartbreak, cried out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Think about these things. Pray about these things. In this day, God needs us radiantly alive and alert and happy, and every mind and heart and body that is still alive, he needs in his service, glorious, going about saying, God is love and Jesus saves. God is love, and we are his children. May we love and love and love. May God forgive us in our repentance. May God renew us in his spirit. May God make us one, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Amen.
My sweet brother, the harmony of your own life is a beautiful accompaniment to the melody of your message this morning. And I think one of the most important things any of us can ever learn in the seminary community is to debate issues, however vociferously you want to debate them, but to do so all the time embracing the brother in love. And if we can all learn that message this morning and apply that, we shall be doing well, Dr. Early, and I thank you so much for the message. Now, I just need to tell you, voter registration is a possibility for you in Ledford Center all day today. Would you take advantage of that, please? Because if you don't vote, whatever you get is what you deserve, and you can't complain about it. And so please take advantage of the opportunity to register to vote over there today. Let's just bow together for a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, how we thank you this morning for the sweet reminder from the word of the Lord and from your servant that we are responsible not only for loving our brother, but for even not responding to things that happen to us in a way that is unchristlike, but compassionately, Lord, even when we're hurt, reaching out to those who have hurt us. And Lord, may we embody the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to confront issues, to be sure, but who in it all always extended his arms of love, his everlasting arms, to those even who persecuted him. And Lord, may we remember that from the cross he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And may we at least follow in his example, as our preacher has advised us and challenged us this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.